The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 21, verses 27 through 30. Page 225 of the New Testament. Acts chapter 21, verses 27 through 30. Allow me to read the word of God. When the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Fellow Israelites, help us. This is the man who teaches everyone everywhere against our people and our law and this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple and defiled this holy place." They had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian in the city with Paul and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple. The whole city was aroused, and the people came running from all directions. Seizing Paul, they dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. Amen. After being called by God, Paul spent his entire life living as many faces to many people in order to gain one more person to the gospel. Like the water of life, he did not ask people to adjust to him, but adjusted himself instead to people in order to extend their common point of contact. As we saw last week, in order to clear away misunderstandings held by Jewish Christians who believed falsehoods about him, he accepted suggestions by James and the elders of Jerusalem to help four men whose Nazarite vow periods were about to end in their purification rites. And this was so that he might increase contact with Jewish Christians whose faith was not yet strong. As such, Paul showed many faces to many people in his lifetime in order to gain one more person to the gospel. But he never lost the holiness of self-discipline, so that no one would through him misunderstand the truth of the gospel and stumble. This is the reason why Paul proclaimed that if anyone whose faith is weak falls into sin, because I eat meat sacrificed to idols, I will never eat meat again. Paul testifies about this in detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 to 24. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Even if we ignore the Dostoevsky quote, "If God does not exist, everything is permitted," today, at the height of individualism, human beings allow themselves everything under the premise of human rights. For the last 10 years, the phrase, "because I want to," has been widely and casually used. It means if I want to do something, you have no right to interfere. But is this really the case? Does allowing ourselves everything actually make things better for us? Does allowing everything bring more beneficial and constructive results? Isn't it just the opposite? Because we do everything we want, eat everything we want, drink everything we want, our lives are ruined. Because we do everything we want, eat and drink everything we want, as a result, the lives of the people around us are ruined. And so Paul tells us, no one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Only to those who seek the good of others is the holiness of self-discipline possible. First Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 to chapter 11, verse 1. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul had one clear standard in life. Whatever he ate or drank or did, he did all for the glory of God. This meant that he worked for the good of everyone he met, so that they would not stumble, but be saved, even to the last person. In other words, this was a life that sought to attain both an open mind that allowed many faces to many people and the holiness of self-discipline, so that no one he met would ever stumble but be saved in the gospel. But this was not Paul's own idea. It was not his own unique lifestyle. This was the life of Jesus Christ, who came to this earth for all salvation, who came to us with many faces, adjusted to our lives, and embraced us, who sacrificed himself on the cross for our own good. The life Jesus Christ showed us, and Paul was following him. So Paul commands us, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Becoming a Christian is to follow the example of Jesus Christ and live not for one's own good, but the good of many, so that may be saved, even to the last person. But today's scripture shows people who live lives opposite to Paul, people who only live for their own good. Verse 27, when the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him. For those who take the vow of a Nazarite, at the end of the period of the vow, they remain for 7 days in the temple, performing rites of purification, and must cut their hair on the 8th day. It was right at the time the rites for Nazarite vows were ending for the 4 people James and the elders of Jerusalem had committed to Paul. Paul did not leave the temple in order to help them carry out the final rites. Among the Jews who came to Jerusalem for Pentecost, there were Jews from Asia. These people were Jews from Ephesus, the center of Asia, which referred to the western region of modern-day Turkey. They were not like the Jewish Christians we saw last week, who had converted from Judaism to Christianity. Instead, they were ardent followers of Judaism. And ever since Paul had stayed 3 years in Ephesus, spreading the gospel, they had decided he was a heretic and had been waiting for the chance to do him harm. They went to the temple of Jerusalem and saw Paul there. And as soon as they saw Paul in the temple, they stirred up the people there against him. In the Greek original scripture, the verb stir up is in the imperfective. This means they continued without stopping to stir up people in the temple so that they would hate Paul. In any place, in any time, we see people who are easily stirred up without thinking. The people in the temple were also easily stirred up by the Jews of Ephesus. The Jews of Ephesus and these people together seized Paul. Although our Korean Bible does not say so, the Greek original text shows how they seized Paul and bound his 2 hands like a criminal. Verse 28 says, shouting, "Fellow Israelites, help us. This is the man who teaches everyone everywhere against our people, in our law, and this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple and defiled this holy place." The Jews of Ephesus did not proclaim Paul's crimes before seizing him and binding him. Instead, they stirred up the people and seized him and bound him. And only then did they shout out the 2 crimes he was accused of. The first crime was that Paul was the man who taught everyone, everywhere, against the Jews and their laws and the temple. The Greek word pantako, which is translated as everywhere, means in every place. If Paul had really taught everyone in every place against the Jews and their laws and the temple, he would have been a terrible criminal. Even worse, the Jews of Ephesus called him the man. This means that all the Jews of Jerusalem were aware of the man who taught everyone in every place against the Jews and their laws and the temple. the false rumors about Paul that the Jews circulated every place he went had spread widely all throughout the Jews of Jerusalem. The second crime the Jews of Jerusalem spoke of was that Paul brought Greeks, who were Gentiles, into the temple and defied the holy place. Back then, the temple of Jerusalem had a yard where Gentiles were allowed to enter. It was an outer yard called the court of the Gentiles. This was as far as they could go. If Gentiles entered the inner courtyard of the temple, inside the temple, called the court of Israel, they were put to death without exception. Because the Roman government acknowledged this Jewish ban, even Roman citizens who were Gentiles were no exception. If a Roman citizen went into the inner courtyard of the temple, they were put to death. So if Paul had really brought a Gentile into the temple, the Gentile and Paul would both be put to death under the crime of defiling the temple. But the two crimes the Jews of Ephesus used to accuse Paul were both lies. They were not true. We saw last week how Paul did not teach everyone in every place against the Jews and their laws and the temple. And the accusation that Paul had brought a Gentile into the temple was also very much false. Verse 29 says, "They had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian in the city with Paul and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple." The Jews of Ephesus were the ones who were currently stirring up the crowd inside the temple into seizing and binding Paul. They came to Jerusalem for Pentecost and saw Trophimus the Ephesian in the city with Paul. Trophimus was a Gentile. Trophimus the Ephesian was with Paul because Trophimus, who had accepted Christ through Paul while Paul stayed 3 years in that city, had also come to Jerusalem for Pentecost and met Paul there. Paul and Trophimus were not really inside the temple. The Jews of Ephesus merely saw Trophimus and Paul together in the city, in the downtown area of Jerusalem. But they assumed Paul had brought Trophimus into the temple of Jerusalem, and under that assumption, they seized and bound Paul and accused Paul of bringing in a Gentile and defiling the temple. To them, the truth was not really important. The important thing to them was that they had justification for publicly killing the heretic Paul. Verse 30 says, "The whole city was aroused, and the people came running from all directions, seizing Paul They dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. The two false accusations brought against Paul by the Jews of Ephesus raised a great outcry among the Jews of Jerusalem. The Jews of Jerusalem did not attempt to even confirm the truth. They had already been stirred up by the Jews of Ephesus, and they were a mob. They went to Paul and dragged him out. Just as they had stoned Stephen, they wanted to stone him. The verb helkuo, which is translated as dragged, is an imperfective verb in the original text. Paul's hands were bound, and he was dragged from the temple like some chained animal. As soon as Paul was dragged out of the temple, the Levites who maintained the temple closed all the doors. A temple is a place of life. Even though Paul, who was without sin, who had committed himself to God, who was the owner of the temple, was being dragged out like an animal to death, the Levites did not care, and they closed the temple doors on him. To them, the building of the temple was more important than the life of Paul. If Paul stands for the true Christian who follows the Lord and lives for the good of others so that even one more person may be saved, the Jews of the scripture stand for selfish people. People who have no care for others, but only live for their own good. People who live only for their own good are like the Jews in the scripture today, never trying to figure out what is right or wrong, or what is truth or really false. They only try to figure out what is in their own interest. And for their own interest's sake, they stir people up using whatever means possible and falsely accuse innocent people, and even oppress and get rid of people who stand in their way. This is why people who only work for their own good can never carry out social justice or social ethics or public interest or public order or a new history. This is why the Temple of Jerusalem, where the Levites shut the doors when the innocent Paul was seized and dragged out by the Jews of Ephesus, who falsely accused him, and the Jews of Jerusalem, who were stirred up by them. This is why the Temple of Jerusalem is only a house filled with people who pursue their own interests. It is a house filled with the ugliness of our lives. The prophet Jeremiah of the Old Testament pointed to the temple of Jerusalem and proclaimed, "Do not trust in deceptive words and say, 'This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord.'" Even to Jeremiah, 600 years before the time of today's scripture, the temple of Jerusalem was no longer the holy house of God, but a place where everyone from the high priest to the common people lived only for their own good. The situation was so terrible that Jesus pointed to the temple of Jerusalem and lamented, "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." If so, in the eyes of the Lord, is the church of this land today a house of God where everyone prays and worships, or is it a den of robbers? This depends not on the size or the glamour of the worship hall, but our attitude toward life, we who make up the church. If we live like Paul, not only for our own good, but for the good of others, so that even one more person may be saved, our church will be God's house, where everyone prays and worships in the eyes of God. But if we pursue only our own good, no matter how glamorous and magnificent our worship hall might be, our church will be no more than a den of robbers in the eyes of the Lord. Because when we only pursue our own good, our lives are filled with lies and hypocrisy, and tricks and intrigues. But even if our hall is small and not really beautiful, if we live like Paul for the good of others, our house will be God's house and our church will be God's church. Yesterday was the second anniversary of the Sewol-ho tragedy, in which 295 out of 476 passengers died and 9 went missing in the ocean near Jindo Island. The Sewol-ho tragedy was a tragedy in which many innocent people, especially many of our children, lost their lives due to people who sought only their own good. As I spoke to you a year ago, this tragedy was not simply an accident that happened because of mistakes made by a few people. It was a tragedy created by all of us, we who have throughout our lives only pursued our own good and not the good of others. We who have only pursued our own interests are all guilty of the Sewol-ho tragedy. And the Sewol-ho tragedy did not just happen 2 years ago in the oceans near Jindo. A Sewol-ho tragedy in which someone is victimized by us, by we who are only pursuing our own good, repeats itself again and again in our midst. And if this is the case, this house in which we gather cannot be a house of God where everyone prays and worships in God's eyes. Paul, who lived not for his own good, but for the good of so many other people, like Christ, so that even one person might be saved, was bound and dragged like an animal from the temple by Jews who only were thinking of their own good. The Jews who dragged Paul out were a huge crowd. In contrast, Paul, who was being dragged out by them, was all alone. Compared to the enormous crowd of Jews who dragged him out, Paul, who was all alone by himself, appears impossibly weak. In the face of the great crowds of Jews, Paul the individual appears completely defeated. But this is not true. God did not work through the great crowds who were pursuing only their own good. It was through Paul, who, following Jesus, sacrificed himself for the good of so many people, that God renewed the history of the Roman Empire and the history of mankind. Do you know this truth? Social justice, public interest, public ethics, and public order, a new history, all of these things can only be carried out through people who work for the good of others. And it is certain that the Almighty God, whose arm is never short, works through such people. And so even now, the Apostle Paul is entreating us. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example, as I follow the example of Christ. Will you follow Christ and live like Paul for the good of many? Or will you live like the Jews of the Scripture today, who lived only for their own good? We have complete freedom to choose one or the other. But just as the choice is ours to make, the outcome will be ours to bear, and it will be our responsibility. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for allowing me to see myself in the Jews of the Scripture today, and through Paul, the vision of what I must become as a Christian in you. Lord, you did not demand that we rise up to your level in heaven. Instead, you lowered yourself down to us and came to this earth in our human form and embraced us with many faces according to our own image and personally sacrificed yourself on the cross for our good and gave us the grace of eternal salvation. Help us from now on to become like Paul and live like Jesus Christ. Give us open minds so that we may show many faces to many people for the salvation of even one more person, and the holiness of self-discipline so that no one we meet will ever stumble through us. And through our lives, let us carry out social justice, social ethics, public interest, public ethics, and public order on this earth. Let the church of this earth, where Christians who work for the good of many gather, be recovered as the house of God, where everyone prays and worships. Let not one of us choose a wrong life and regret and heartache at the moment of death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.